Today is February 10th, 2025, and you're listening to Space News First Up.
Did you know Space News offers four newsletters, First Up published Monday to Friday and sent at 9 a.m. Eastern Time? Military Space is sent out Tuesday, Space Next AI on Thursday, and on Friday, we send out a curated newsletter of the week's top stories in our Space News This Week newsletter. Visit spacenews.com to sign up.
Here are today's top headlines in space. Boeing warned employees working on the space launch system of potential layoffs. On the same day as the layoff notice, the White House appeared to back the continuation of Artemis. Two senators introduced a bill to provide nearly $20 billion for the White House's missile defense plan that would have a major space component. Lockheed Martin and Boeing are advancing competing designs for next-generation military communications satellites. The FCC is setting up a battle between SpaceX and terrestrial wireless providers for a slice of C-band spectrum. Spire won a Canadian Space Agency contract to develop a constellation of satellites for wildfire monitoring. And a bipartisan group of senators has introduced a bill to formally authorize the Office of Space Commerce's Space Traffic Coordination System.
First Up is produced by Space News, the industry standard for professional space journalism. Visit spacenews.com for breaking news, policy updates, and original analysis.
We begin today with news that Boeing warned employees working on the space launch system of potential layoffs. The company said Friday that as many as 400 people, a significant portion of the overall SLS workforce, could be laid off in April, citing revisions to the Artemis program and cost expectations. NASA has not announced any revisions to the Artemis lunar exploration campaign, but many in the industry expect the Trump administration to propose canceling some or all of the current Artemis architecture, including SLS. On the same day as the layoff notice, the White House appeared to back the continuation of Artemis. A joint U.S.-Japan statement tied to the visit of the Japanese Prime Minister to Washington mentioned that the two countries intend to continue their strong partnership in civil space, including lunar surface exploration on future Artemis missions. Japan is contributing to the Lunar Gateway and also developing a pressurized lunar rover in exchange for seats on future Artemis landing missions. Any changes to Artemis could upend those partnerships. Two senators introduced a bill to provide nearly $20 billion for the White House's missile defense plan that would have a major space component. Republican Senators Dan Sullivan, Alaska, and Kevin Cramer, North Dakota, introduced the Iron Dome Act last week, proposing $19.5 billion in funding for fiscal year 2026 to implement Trump's recent executive order dubbed Iron Dome for America. The legislation includes $960 million for space-based technologies. The proposed missile defense system would integrate space technologies being developed under different programs by the Missile Defense Agency and Space Development Agency, and include space-based interceptors. Lockheed Martin and Boeing are advancing competing designs for next-generation military communication satellites. The companies recently completed early design reviews for the Mobile User Objective System, MUOS, Service Life Extension Program, an estimated $2.5 billion initiative by the U.S. Space Force to modernize its ultra-high-frequency narrowband satellite network. The progress comes as some argue that the Space Force should turn to commercial systems to provide those services, taking advantage of work on direct-to-device satellite technologies. The FCC is setting up a battle between SpaceX and terrestrial wireless providers for a slice of C-band spectrum. The FCC plans to start a notice of inquiry this month on opening up spectrum from 3.98 to 4.2 gigahertz for more intensive use than its current assignment for satellite services. Wireless providers see this as an opportunity to access more spectrum for 5G services, but SpaceX has instead proposed that the FCC modernize the use of the spectrum to support multiple operators. Spire won a Canadian Space Agency contract to develop a constellation of satellites for wildfire monitoring. Under the 72 million Canadian, 50.4 million, WildfireSat contract, Spire will develop 10 CubeSats with payloads provided by German company OroraTech. The spacecraft will track wildfires, filling a gap in current satellite monitoring. Spire said the satellites will be built at a facility operated by its Canadian subsidiary, with launch scheduled for 2029. A bipartisan group of senators has introduced a bill to formally authorize the Office of Space Commerce's Space Traffic Coordination System. The Situational Awareness of Flying Elements in Orbit Act, or SAFE Orbit Act, would formally direct the office to develop the system, known as Traffic Coordination System for Space, or TRACS. That system is in beta testing and is expected to go into full service late this year. The bill would also elevate the Office of Space Commerce, currently within NOAA, into a bureau reporting directly to the Secretary of Commerce. A version of the bill passed the Senate late last year, but was not taken up by the House. In other news, an Electron launched a fourth set of satellites for a French company Saturday. The rocket lifted off from Rocket Lab's New Zealand launch site at 3:43 p.m. Eastern and deployed its payload of five satellites into low Earth orbit about an hour later. The event was the fourth of five launches Rocket Lab is performing for Canaeus, a French company developing a small sat constellation to provide Internet of Things and tracking services. The launch was the first this year by Rocket Lab, which has previously stated it expects to exceed last year's mark of 16 Electron launches but has not disclosed a specific target. Florida Today reports that SpaceX launched another set of Starlink satellites Saturday. A Falcon 9 lifted off from Cape Canaveral Space Force Station in Florida at 2:18 p.m. Eastern and deployed 21 Starlink satellites. The launch was scheduled for Friday, but delayed a day for undisclosed reasons. Spaceflight Now reports that a United Launch Alliance is destacking a Vulcan rocket at its Florida launch site to prepare for an Atlas V launch. The company had been preparing for its first national security mission for the Vulcan after two certification flights, but with certification delayed to investigate an issue with one of the solid rocket boosters on the second flight, ULA is instead preparing for an Atlas V launch of Amazon Kuiper satellites at the same pad. That first Vulcan national security launch, a mission called USSF-106, is now expected to occur in the second quarter. Defense News reports that the Pentagon has ordered a review of the Space Development Agency, SDA. The review, requested by the Office of the Undersecretary of Defense for Defense Acquisition and Sustainment, seeks to assess SDA's organizational performance and acquisition approach. The independent review will look at the SDA's approach to developing a constellation of missile tracking and data relay satellites and how they are integrated into other systems. The review was announced shortly after the Pentagon placed the director of SDA, Derek Tournier, on administrative leave to investigate contracting actions. Reuters reports that the Trump administration's pick to be Secretary of the Air Force reportedly modified a satellite contract to favor SpaceX. Troy Mink, principal deputy director of the NRO, is said to have changed provisions of a contract solicitation regarding inter-satellite communications that gave an edge to SpaceX through its Starlink constellation. When another bidder, L3 Harris, reportedly complained, Mink warned the company its ability to win future NRO business could be hurt if it filed a formal protest. The NRO's inspector general investigated the contract, but it is not clear if it found any wrongdoing. NASA says it will continue using electric vans it bought to serve as astronaut transports, even though the manufacturer has gone bankrupt. NASA acquired the vans from Canoo Technologies in 2022 to serve as Artemis crew transportation vehicles, taking astronauts to the launch pad for Artemis missions. Canoo, though, filed for Chapter 7 bankruptcy liquidation in January after failing to secure new investment. NASA says it plans to continue using the vans, having worked with Canoo earlier to train workers to maintain the vans. The New York Times reports that the risk of an asteroid impact in 2032 is a little higher for now. As of Friday, asteroid 2024 YR4 had a 2.2% chance of hitting the Earth in December 2032, up from 1.3% in late January. Additional observations are helping astronomers refine the orbit of the asteroid, discovered in December. Scientists note that the changing odds of an impact are not surprising, and that more observations in the days and weeks to come will likely result in the impact chances going to zero.